from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
What is your order to establish how good the wings are? I'm going to order 10 before I order any more, and the way to find out if they're good is to order 10
medium.
Oh, the answer's hot.
Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
There's more skill involved in creating the sauce with the medium because you're combining more of the butter with the hot sauce. Used hot. I mean, they're going to throw hot sauce in there.
Jeremy White.
I think the words that were just put together.
What?
There's more skill involved in a medium?
Yes.
A medium is the 40-yard dash, and the hot is the shuttle or the three cone.
Not WGR.
Real ones know.
Sports Radio 550.
Morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. 1 week away. 1 week away from Buffalo Bills training camp. Sal Capaccio is in with me today. Jeremy off. Should be back a week from today for training camp. Sal, we need things to happen on the field. You know? The takes are getting stale. We're going round and round on some of this stuff. We just need the field, right? We need things to happen. We need it bad.
Yeah, the discussion on Josh Allen that's happened this week, right?
Oh.
It's kind of been the apex of it all. I mean, now we know, like, okay,
I'm
that's it. There's a tilting point. There's a tipping point. And I think maybe this week we finally got to it. All right, that's when you know. Can we just play, please? Can we
yes.
just go back to watching football practice?
Yes. Yeah. No, the Allen discourse this week, you're right. That has been my line in the sand of, okay,
yes.
this is where I'm beginning to go crazy. I'm starting to go crazy. Then now we're going down this path. You know what I did last night? Just because, like, when's the last time you, maybe you do this more often than I do, the last time you just put on a football game or put on football highlights, just watched plays, actually. Like, when's the last time you think you did that?
I don't know. I go down the YouTube rabbit hole sometimes, so maybe, but generally,
good.
It's a lot of times it's like specific games
mm-hmm.
that I'm looking for or plays.
Yep.
So that happens once in a while, but yeah, probably not very often.
All right. I'm on YouTube yesterday, and there's a couple of recommendations, and one of them is the Bills Patriots perfect game highlights. Like,
yes,
there they are,
sitting there.
Which
you love to watch.
Which I love to watch. I haven't done that in a long time. I've watched them a million times, but
yep.
I haven't done it in a while. And I'm thinking, I don't even know. We've been in here, and yesterday I'm yelling about whatever they're saying on ESPN about Allen and turnovers. It's just driving me crazy. And You know, we're debating Coleman and over the offseason and all the wide receiver talk, of course. Here we go. Brandon Ayuk, for like the ninth time, I feel like this offseason, requested a trade.
Yep.
But I guess this is officially requested a trade, which is different. We'll get to that. So I'm thinking, like, I don't even know the last time I watched a football play. Like, on Twitter, I'm sure I've seen them. But let me just, you know what? Fine. 8 minutes. I'm just going to sit for 8 minutes and watch football. And there, boom, Bills Patriots. It's beautiful. Every play, every play, and it's unbelievable. Every throw, every drive is a touchdown. It's gorgeous, those highlights. I love that game. It's the greatest Bills game of my lifetime, I think. So, cool. I just needed to see football. And I can't wait. I can't wait for this training camp, I think, more than any training camp in memory for me that isn't, you know, here comes a new quarterback. Because those ones are always going to be ramped up. Allen's first camp would have been, you know, all right, let's go. New quarterback, we get to see what he's like. But this, is it just, do we do this every year, do you think, Sal? Or do you think this offseason has been maybe more exhausting than others because of the Diggs trade and a couple of other things that have come along the way?
I think this year's been a little bit more of that. You know what this year has been? This offseason has been, to me, there's one word that kind of keeps coming up into my mind. And people ask me, like, about this offseason, about the changes, about what to expect from the Bills this season. And the word is wondering. Like, I just think there's such an unknown, maybe that's a better word, unknown, about this team. I really think, Joe, for the last several years, we've kind of known about the team. Sure, there's questions and there's been changes here or there. Mm-hmm. And we'll wonder, like, how will this unit perform? What will happen with this guy? There's a contract here or there. This has truly been, since the Bills have made this ascension, really going back to 2020, let's say, since the Bills have made this ascension, this offseason truly has been the most massive of changes that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been such a wide range of opinions on what they're going to be, what they did, what it means, that I'm really wondering, like, who they are, what they are. I have my opinion that, hey, they should be fine with Josh Allen. What does fine mean? I don't really know what that means.
Right.
Look at their schedule. It's tough, right? So
yep.
That's it. Wondering. This has been the most kind of wondering / unknown offseason, which adds to what you're saying, which is the intrigue of maybe we need more of this now. We got to get there more, because in years past, Joe, we've said, we know who they are. We know what they're going to. It's just, let's just get on the field, stay healthy, and they're going to be right there at the end. We don't know that this year.
Right, that's the good point. It is just staying healthy going to be good enough? It is. I think that's fair. I think it's the first season in a few years where you enter the year not quite knowing if they're great or not. I don't think anyone would say they wouldn't be good. That's kind of what you're saying, right? Like, they'll be, as long as Allen's their quarterback, they'll at least be fine. Like, I think they'll at least be a good team. You know, they'll win. They'll win 9 games. You know, I think it's very hard, even with a tough schedule. When that's your quarterback, I think it's hard to not find your way to at least 9 wins. I mean, that quarterback's just going to, he's going to will you to win in certain games that maybe you shouldn't even win. You know, that there some, so that might not even be tested all the way. You know, close games and whatnot. Allen, you know, there's so much content and data that's been thrown around in the last couple of months, since the last time there's been a football game played. And one of the things I remember seeing like a week ago, maybe it was from Ben Baldwin, was kind of charting like how good quarterbacks are in pressure situations when the game is within one score and you're in the final minutes. You know, like it's very, like, everyone knows you're passing because of the game situation. And Allen is like number one in the league, and it's not even close. Like, pressure situations, the guy shows up. Not every time. I know there are going to be a once-in-a-while example of that not happening, but that's going to be everybody. So, you know, I wonder if they're going to be playing more close games this year, what that will look like. Maybe we'll get more moments because of that. There are so many games that have come and gone in recent years where the Bills just blow out the other team, where, you know, you're not going to get these legendary closing moments at the end because you're up by 25. You know, like you're not going to get those. So it's a wonder too of how good they are, and also how it's going to feel different. How will it feel if they're playing more close games? If it does feel like it's a little bit tougher, if it does feel like Allen has to put the team on his shoulders a little bit more. I think there's a lot of feel questions about this team this year because of the departures. So, you know, it's a unique season, and I'm glad we're getting it. I'm not sure I'm glad that everyone's gone that's gone, right? Like, Diggs will be wondering about the same way until the season gets rolling and we get to see what the receivers look like. But, yeah, for training camp, for preseason especially, like, to me, this season is new. It's 2019, right? That's the last time we were really wondering this much is 2019, Allen's second year.
Yeah, I think so. But wondering about Allen, like that's the way you're asking it, right? About him himself, like what if he can
kinda
carry this load? I'm not worried. I'm not wondering about Allen in that regard. To me, it's almost more roster construction than it is that. I have confidence, actually, that like Josh Allen, however this season goes, you know what it is, I guess, Joe, I'm thinking about this conversation this week about Allen and what we just opened up with. Maybe I'm naive. No doubt. I could be completely just not even thinking about it. Maybe I'm thinking about it the wrong way. If this season goes south for the Buffalo Bills, I'm not thinking it's because of Josh Allen in any way. I think it's because of roster construction. I think it's because of what they had to do around Josh Allen. Like, I'm so confident in Josh Allen, and of course he's going to make mistakes. He's going to throw some interceptions. We know that's even, you know, going back to the conversation this week, you know, we've all been on shows where they say, well, he, you know, throws too many interceptions. Great. Okay, whatever. We know that some of the numbers are there. We know that sometimes he can play hero ball. I get all that. He's still great. I think he's proven himself enough for long enough in this league to be considered one of the top three, four at worst, I guess, quarterbacks in the NFL, that if things go south this year, I don't see myself right now thinking it's because of Josh Allen. I think it's because they just didn't have enough around him, and we're going to sit here going, okay, you went through your transition year, now go help your franchise quarterback a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think if they went south, it would be because of Allen. I agree with you that it would be more about, you know, I'm receivers, the one position I'm very worried about defensively. I do wonder about if they're going to have enough at the edge position. I mean, those are two, you could make the argument that behind quarterback, those are the two most important positions on a football team. I know many would say left tackle is going to be up there as well, but edge rusher and receiver are right near the top, and I don't really know what they're going to look like at either position, at least how deep they're going to be. I know what I'm getting from Curtis Samuel. I know what I'm getting from Greg Rousseau. There's certain individuals where you know, but the totality of those positions is, I think, very much up in the air. And I wonder if those would be the spots. I also think, you know, now that you're talking about this, or the way you just framed that, it made me think of Joe Brady and, you know, roster construction. I think Brady, if the season looked similar to last year, which is, okay, they're still, you know, look at it from what happened with Ken Dorsey. They were still winning some games. I mean, they did get to 500, I guess, so I guess it wasn't meeting the bar. But Ken Dorsey had an offense that looked constipated. You know, there were numbers that said, hey, this offense is still really good, but what's the Bills' standard for offense when that's your quarterback? I mean, your standard should be, I'm got to be top five, if not even top three, because this dude is either the second or third best quarterback in the league. That ESPN survey came out this week with the executives and the coaches and the scouts, and Allen came in at number three, but he was the only one that received a first-place vote not named Patrick Mahomes. So, like, he's up there. You can't be ninth, you know, 10th, 11th. Like, by league standards, that's not a bad offense. But by Josh Allen standards, like, you should be better than that. But if they are, what I wonder how, again, I'm kind of wondering about how we'll feel about the season. Because last year, their offense looked the way it did, and where did all the pitchforks get turned? They all went towards Ken Dorsey. It all went towards the play caller. He was in his second year. They still had Diggs. Diggs at that point was putting up giant numbers. It was probably on pace for like 1,700 yards or something dumb because he had put up so many big 100-yard games early on. Like, they had Gabe Davis. They had, you know, we kind of knew what they had player-wise. And then he gets fired. So now we enter this year, and it's a first full year of Joe Brady. But I wonder, Sal, like, if it's rocky at all, where will the pitchforks get turned? Maybe there won't be any turned. Maybe it'll just be, okay, like, we understand Joe Brady's situation. We understand Brandon Bean's situation. It's no one's happy that the offense is constipated or it looks rocky. But everyone kind of knows, well, that's the phase you're in because you have a rookie receiver in Keon Coleman and you don't have that number one guy anymore. You had to get rid of Diggs. And, you know, there might be reasons why the offense isn't producing that are going to be easier to digest for people than last year.
Yeah, I think that there are so many different people and ways that we could be fighting about this team right. If things don't go well because of all the changes, right? You're going to have, this could be a real big season. Remember what I said, wondering, right? Like, there's going to be a lot of different opinions on why things, it always happens, why things went wrong, why things went right. But I think in this particular year, Joe, because you have, of course, the McDermott discussion, which is always out there, especially with a lot of fans who are dug in, right, on the side of they need someone different. You have the Bean discussion, which is, hey, there's some guys that haven't, you know, elevated to what they thought and being drafted, and he's been in charge for a while, and roster construction, and just the nature that goes along with that position. Then you have all the different wide receivers that are on this team. No more Stephon Diggs, and that goes to, you know, Brandon Bean trading him. No more, you know, Gabe Davis, and you bring in guys who you're kind of throwing darts at. And then you have Joe Brady as well, taking over as offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have Josh Allen, who's the quarterback. I think you could kind of point at a lot of different people and things if things don't go great for this offense.
Mm-hmm.
What if things do? If things go really well, if they come out the first four games and we're like, holy cow, like, mm-hmm, they haven't missed a beat. They're really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's also what I'm wondering. Like,
yeah,
what is the reason for that? Is it simply because, hey, you have Josh Allen, it was always going to be like this?
Yep.
Or is it, wow, like, they have players that we didn't realize because they had Stephon Diggs taking so many targets, and oh my God, look at the elevation of Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir and James Cook. That could also happen. And that's all the part of the wondering for me.
There will be... There's a couple individuals that come right to mind, though, for that, right? Like, if they come out and they are... You tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think their ceiling as an offense, even with this receiving core that I'm still skeptical about, but I'm not, like, mm-hmm, I'm not closed off that they could be a good core, but I'm definitely skeptical. I think I'd still tell you their ceiling as an offense is number one in the league.
Wow.
No?
Really?
I think
their ceiling as an offense, number one.
Maybe I'm giving
sure,
Allen,
anything is possible. Yeah, I would say sure. Of course, theoretically, like, yeah, because you have Josh Allen, that could happen.
That's the reason. Yeah, that's the reason.
But if every team played to their ceiling, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. Well, okay. That right. That's a good way of saying it, because, yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Other teams, sure. You'd have to have other teams, yes, not play up to their potential.
That's right. I agree with that. So, right, I could see them finishing number one at the end of the year. But, yeah, it would probably have to come in concert with, hey, you know, Xavier Worthy was horrible and Marquise Brown is shot and the Chiefs were still looking for receiver and the Niners had to trade Ayuk, so they weren't the same. Yeah, I agree with that. So, but anyways, who would get credit if it went really well? Because I could see,
right,
it still,
that's
going,
right,
really, really well. And Allen, of course, I mean, MVP would totally be set up for him. Totally. Like,
oh, yeah.
This would,
oh,
be,
yeah,
the year. He hasn't won it yet. I think voters like that, right? I don't think, like, I think Lamar Jackson winning it again, it's harder for him to win it this year than it is for Josh Allen. Because I do think if it's similar at all, if the numbers are close, if the record is close, the team success is close, I mean, I do think voters also want a good story if it's at all close. And Lamar winning it for a third time, you know, like, I don't know, it'd be kind of feel like, what are we doing here? Like, he's going to win it every year now. And Allen winning it for the first time would kind of be like his coronation a little bit, like his finally some hardware for one of the great quarterbacks of this generation. So, and of course, more than that is Diggs being gone. If Diggs is what happened with Mahomes, Tyreek Hill leaves and Mahomes, it's like his profile goes even higher if it was possible because, oh, he just did it without that guy. So right. Allen doing it without Diggs, like MVP level of credit would be on the table for him. I think Brady would probably get a lot of credit if they're able to have a top-level offense with all the changes. You know, like, whatever his scheme even looks like, he will get credit no matter what if it's that good. And then I do think Bean would get a lot, you know? Like, I'll assume for this, if they're going to have a top-level offense, somebody or somebody's in that receiving room and of Dalton Kincaid, the tight end room, I think will have had to have burst out. And yes. No matter who that is, because really, I mean, he's the GM. He's got his hands on all of it, right? If it's Kincaid that does it, if Coleman is great. I mean, if Coleman, actually, that's how Bean would get even more credit, right, Sal, is if Coleman is the reason why. Imagine this. There, I know I'm really going down the road here in the hypothetical, but I'm just going to imagine the best case scenario for the Bills and for Bean. If Coleman looks great and Kansas City on the other side, Worthy looks like questionable and isn't performing the way they would have liked, who's going to get the credit? I mean, everyone's going to be talking about how Brandon Bean traded down and got Keon Coleman, who, oh, look how good, the rookie of the year candidate. If that happens, then Bean, I think, is going to be someone who gets a ton of the credit for their offense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Coleman being great might be independent and no one will care, but he's going to be tied to Xavier Worthy, though, right? No matter what.
Yep, no matter what.
Because if he's great and putting up numbers and Xavier Worthy is, you're still going to have that discussion. But I think that the proper place for me, I would land is, well, you still got a guy that fits you. Like, it doesn't matter. We don't know if Xavier Worthy would have been that in Buffalo or Keon Coleman would have been that in Kansas City. I really kind of, as long as Keon Coleman's really good in Buffalo, it doesn't really matter what Xavier Worthy does in Kansas City to me, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yep.
Because that just means you got the guy you wanted. He fit in your offense, and he's great. If Coleman is okay to not good and Xavier Worthy's really good, then we have a different discussion on our hands. But that's right. If Coleman is really good, he fits in this offense, it doesn't really matter what Xavier Worthy does. It shouldn't matter to anybody. You got the guy because you don't know how good the other guy would have been if you had replaced them there. Bean would deserve a lot of credit, of course. I think he'd be up for executive of the year for all these changes. That's what you have to have. You're right, Joe. Like, the MVP is a lot like coach of the year in that regard. Coach of the year often goes to who did the most with the least. Not always, but you think about, they overcame a lot of circumstance and they had to do it with a lesser roster, lesser talented roster. MVP, Josh Allen, like, yeah, he would get a lot of credit and probably win MVP if he has a normal Josh Allen season given this cast. And that might not be fair because it might be in line with every other season he's had, and yet he hasn't won an MVP yet. You're like, well, wait a minute.
Yep.
He's had just as good of a season. I was on a show last night, a betting show. They were asking me props for Josh Allen. I think you and Nate, I'm not positive,
yeah,
you went over the numbers, right?
We did, briefly, yeah. Allen number, his number, maybe they, I don't know if they had a different number, but the number I had for him the other day was a lot lower than what he's been at.
37-something, right, is his total for yardage.
Yes.
27.5 touchdowns. And they asked me what I thought, and I said, look, of course that seems low to me because just look at his career historically, right? I mean, like, he's always above that. That's a lot. It's a lot less yards. It's a lot less touchdowns than what you normally would get. But I said, what you'd have to really have, and you think, you know, part of it is, knock on wood, he stays healthy. He's been, like, the most healthy and most stability at quarterback for any team in the league.
Knock on wood, right? I mean, we're knocking on it.
Yeah, we are. I mean, that's part of it too, right? So generally a quarterback misses a game here, a game there, yep. a few games, and that hurts your numbers. And that could be the difference between literally 500-600 yards of passing for anybody. And you think about those numbers. So as long as Josh Allen stays healthy, I don't really care who the receivers are. To me, he's a 4,000-yard passer.
I agree. I mean, it would be... He has not even been close to 3,700. I mean, his last 4 years, which is when he took the giant jump forward, his lowest total in the last four seasons is 4,283. I mean, we are talking about his betting line being not just like 500 yards lower. And maybe what's interesting about the betting lines, and I think the injury point is right to point out, is a little bit of the reason why the number would be lower, and maybe everybody's number would seem low because of that, is, okay, well, do they have that number lower because they think they're going to be running the ball more? Is that a reason why? But then if you click a couple of tabs over on these sites to, okay, let me go to the rushing props and scroll down to James Cook, who I saw yesterday, his number for rushing is 950. That's also a drop. That's 150 yards lower for James Cook than he had 1,100 yards last year. So 950 yards for James Cook. Like, to me, that speaks a little bit to, are the betting lines just thinking their offense just isn't going to be as productive? And I mean, Cook 950 would not be a bad year for him. It's not much of a decrease, I don't think. An injury would play into that line too. But yeah, Allen not getting to 4,000 yards. Like, I feel like it's automatic. I feel like it's almost as close to automatic as it gets. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get to the Brandon Ayuk news from yesterday. I don't even know if it's anything's different, but we'll talk about it as he officially requests a trade out of San Francisco, according to Ian Rappaport and others that were reporting on that yesterday. We're 1 week away from training camp. What are you wondering about? Anything that we didn't go over here, what are you wondering about for the Bills? It could be big, could be little, it could be the rookies who reported yesterday. So they're already, you know, in the building. Sal, I texted you about this yesterday, kind of more of like an orientation for the rookies, right? They're not doing anything.
Yeah, they're here in Buffalo. They're not going to be out in St. John Fisher doing work. No, don't go out to the St. John Fisher fields looking to see the rookies. There's nothing like that going on. They report earlier just to kind of get acclimated a little bit and go through meetings and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So we'll get to all of that. I've got an idea for a draft that me and Sal can get to a little bit later on in today's show, having to do with the first snap the Bills are going to take on offense this year. So we'll let you know what that is, too. Guest today, 8 o'clock, Matt Parrino will preview some training camp stuff with Matt at 8 a.m. And then at 9:30, we have been kind of all in on like kickoffs and what that's going to look like and all the different things that we could see. We're going to talk to Sean Syed from Sumer Sports at 9:30. He watched all 400-plus of the XFL kickoffs from the last couple of years, charted them, and he's got a couple of takeaways that he wrote about at Sumer Sports of what he saw in the XFL for kickoffs. We'll have him on at 9:30, see if we can get a little bit more of a preview of what that might look like. All that on the table, your phone calls first. What are you wondering about for this Bills season going into 2024? Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling,
"Come on, move!"
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
They have been adamant that they're not looking to trade him. And I think that's going to continue to be the case here. And I also think that they're going to lean on the fact that they had this with Deebo Samuel. They were able to work their way through it and come to an agreement on a contract extension at some point, and they feel like they're going to be able to do that once again. The question now is, what happens when we get to training camp? I believe Brandon Ayuk will show up. I don't know that for sure. What happens after that? Obviously, he wants to protect his money. Can they get something done? Can they re-engage at that point? Sure.
Mike Garofalo from NFL Network. It's Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio. By the way, Open Championship this weekend. We'll have Brian Koziol in, of course, between now and then. Tee to Green on Saturday morning at 7. So that on Brandon Ayuk. Good morning. What are you wondering about the Bills? Give us a call, 803-0550. 1 week until Bills training camp at St. John Fisher. All right. The Ayuk news from Garofalo yesterday. Correction on that. It was not Rapport. It was Garofalo. He reported yesterday that Ayuk has now officially requested a trade from the Niners after failing to reach an agreement on an extension. They, of course, still could. And even as he says there, the Niners still have no intention of trading him. We had a guest on last week, Sal, We had Cam Inman on from the Bay Area. And we asked him about them trading Ayuk, and he was like, no, they're not trading Ayuk. Like, it's not going to happen. So, should I think anything is different after this news yesterday, or am I right in feeling like this is kind of the same situation? Or am I just tired of talking about Ayuk? Because, like I said, we're kind of we're exhausted from the offseason a little bit, going round and round, and I feel like we've talked Ayuk from the day the season ended, maybe, or maybe the day that Diggs got traded, we've been talking about him.
I think this is new, like, compared to what Cam said, but if we called Cam Inman right now, we're not going to, because it's 3:37 p.m. in San Francisco, by the way.
Right.
Sorry, it's 3:37 a.m. If we called Cam Inman right now and said, do you feel any different? I bet he would say no. I bet he would say, no, this is what you do. This is a negotiating tactic. They're not going to trade him. I've been reading a little bit about this, and it looks like the 49ers are not interested in trading him. They also don't want to pay him market value, or what he feels is market value, at least, right? They don't want to give him an extension and pay him. So this is how these things play out sometimes. I generally, in those situations, it gets to a point of, has to really go even further. You're going to training camp. Guys are missing. They're getting fined. Like, we're still a week out from training camp, right? This is happening. To me, Joe, this is happening now for a reason. This is Brandon Ayuk's camp putting pressure on the Niners before camp starting.
Yeah.
Saying, like, do this now. We don't want to miss any time. It's like, we don't want to be traded. So we're giving you a heads up to do this now so we don't get to a point where we actually have to go down that road.
We also don't want
that makes sense.
We also don't want to hold out and lose, $50,000 a day?
Exactly right. That's what this feels like to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. There was a Josina Anderson report yesterday, too, that the Patriots reached out to the Niners in the last couple of weeks about Ayuk and were told that they're not trading him. They were not trading him at the time, was what the Patriots had been told about Ayuk. So, right, I guess things could change. I would not predict, though, that they will. I think that the way this has gone, he's going to play for the Niners this year. I don't know that he's got to be there long term, though. I mean, they should prioritize him, and maybe what they really are headed for is, can we get him to play this year, play nice enough on the fifth-year option, and then we could pay him what he wants the year after, because then we're in more of a position to move on from Deebo Samuel. Like, let's get one more year in here with the full complement of our weapons. Let's get one more year in with the whole crew, and then... then when we've got to pay Ayuk, then we'll have to say goodbye to somebody. That to me is what the Niners are trying to do here. But if you're Ayuk and Ayuk's team, you know, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about, you know, there's two things really here. It's not only how much do you want, because that has been out there, that Ayuk's team has been kind of frustrated that when they go into meetings negotiating contract with the Niners want to pay him, you know, $20 to $25 million, like somewhere in like a number two wide, like a top end number two, but like number two second tier wide receiver money. But then when the Niners talk to other teams about compensation in a trade, the Niners are telling other teams, oh no, he's like, you got to give us the payment of like an elite number one. So Ayuk's going, you know, okay, so what do you think I am? What you want to pay me like a two, kind of, but you want to trade me like a one. So where, what do you actually believe here? And maybe it really is just that the Niners just don't want to do it this year. They want to just wait a year. And if you're the player, you know, that would maybe, again, it's a lot of maybes. His motivation would be to make it a little bit uglier, because I don't know that I want to play with 1 year. What if I get injured? You know, like I'm taking a risk if I'm playing on a fifth year option with no contract beyond that.
How good is he? Have you looked at that and thought about that? I mean, he's had nice numbers, but he had a real big jump last year.
I think he's a great player. I think he's a great player that is great in that offense, and I don't think they need to throw the ball to him more, because I think that offense works. They have so many weapons. They do a pretty darn good job, I think, spreading the wealth. I think if he were in a different situation, though, like if I think if he was on the Bills, he would be considered one of the best receivers in football. Wow. I think he's that good. I think he just doesn't have the target share to grow that stardom in San Francisco. I mean, what did he get last year? 100 targets? 105 targets?
105, yeah.
105. Like, that's good. But could he be a guy that gets 130, 140, 150? Like, part of the reason I think we also talk about him a lot is I do think there are a lot of similarities between Ayuk in San Francisco and Diggs in Minnesota. A very good receiver that's not quite seen as one of the best, but there might be some tape and some film and some numbers that point to, okay, but if you give him more, like, he's going to come through. So I think he's a great player. I think he's a better player than T. Higgins, who's also on the trade market reportedly.
I'm looking at some things. I want to give you, I'm not going to do an instant trivia necessarily, but I will ask you a little trivia here. What do you think?
All right, sure.
Let's do this. Okay, the Bills, Stephon Diggs, 160. Brandon Ayuk led the Niners with 105, right?
Yep.
Okay, the Niners had four guys over 80 targets, okay?
Yeah, wow.
The Bills had three. They went Diggs, Kincaid, Davis. But what's wild is the Niners, what do you think the gap is from to the next guy?
Ooh.
They had four guys go over 80 targets.
Yep.
They had Ayuk at 105, Kittle at 90, Samuel 89, McCaffrey at 83. And
Like
all of them are right there. Like, they're very high in targets, right?
Yeah.
What, you're not looking,
I'm
you're
not looking
at it
I'm
right
not
now,
looking.
Right?
I'm not
what,
looking.
What is the next highest targets last year for the Niners. 83 is fourth. What's fifth?
So I guess this player is going to be Juwan Jennings. Is that right?
Or is that is correct.
Okay, so it's Juwan Jennings, and I'm going to guess he is in the 50s. Like 55 would be my guess.
33.
Wow. A 50-target drop-off after that?
There is a 50-target difference from number four to number five. Okay, for the Bills, they had three guys in the 80s. Not four, they had three.
Yep.
Okay. Then there's a bit of a drop. What is the next number? From 160 to 91 to 81, and then the fourth.
I think it's more than that. I think, wasn't James Cook in the 60s? James Cook in
54. 54. So close. Okay. Okay, then Khalil Shakir at 45. Then Dawson Knox at 36. The Bills actually had three guys over, like, that next guy on the Niners. Now, that's, to me, look at that. Wow, is that top heavy?
Yeah.
You say target share to go around. That's right, but they are really eaten up by the four guys at the top, right?
Yeah.
The Bills actually had more of a spread out, and I think the Bills will even have more now. You think what that's going to look like for the Bills this year? Who's the top target guy? Is it going to be Samuel? We've talked about this. Or Kincaid, right? Kincaid probably has the most targets. So you go Kincaid. Are we expecting 160? I think that would be way too many.
Oh, yeah. No. No, I'm thinking that could look... The top end could look more like the Niners. Maybe it would be more balanced, though. Like, where, okay, their number one guy had 105. Like, to me, that would be... Yeah. Well, how much of a jump is that? How much you say Kincaid had last year? Like, 90?
91.
I think he warrants, if he's going to take a step this year, given what their offense is, I think he warrants more than a 14-target jump. I'm thinking more.
Okay, so maybe two more a game. So you give him another 32 targets, 34 targets.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere around 120, and then like you said, the Niners are kind of unique to this, where they have four guys that are so good that they kind of all have to get it, so everyone else kind of pales in comparison.
Right.
Whereas the Bills are more, you know, kind of even keeled on that front. So yeah, like Knox is going to get more than 30, and so is Cook, and so is Shakir, and so is Coleman, and so is Kincaid, of course, and Samuel. Like, they'll have seven guys that are going to be above 30 targets, I think. I think Ray Davis is going to be, they're going to be playing like third and long situations because of his blocking. Like, he could get 30
targets.
They
had six guys last year, the Bills. Six guys over 30 targets. 36 or more. That's Dawson Knox that was number six at 36.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. Brandon Ayuk still on the trade market, or maybe even more on the trade market, I should say, now from the rest of the offseason, officially requesting a trade yesterday. Mike, if you're on hold through the break, we'll get to you right when we come back. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you're wondering something about the Bills, let us know what you think. There were one former Bill, one current Bill that have talked about Diggs leaving this week that were pretty interesting. We can get to those a little bit later. Also, Patrick Mahomes had his first press conference at Chiefs training camp. It said a very weird thing about winning the Super Bowl last year that we'll have for you as well. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, to your phone calls next here on WGR. Just trying to dig up some trivia, and I got a good one. Well, I'm going to get a call in here first, but I got a good trivia that relates to playoff numbers because there were some dumb things said about Josh Allen on television earlier in the week. Before we get to that, though, what are you wondering about the Bills? Training camp a week away. Mike in Rochester is first up. Getting connected with our fans, by the way, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online, northtownkia.com. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show.
Morning. Thanks. Thanks.
My question was, they signed a couple weird guys in, back in May or so. They signed the lacrosse guy, and then they got the rugby guy. Just thoughts. I didn't really heard any much. I know camp hasn't started yet. So there's probably no really good look at these guys, but I don't know if they were in training camp or, I'm sorry, rookie camp, if there's any idea if these guys will make the team at all.
I don't remember the lacrosse guy's name. I remember there was a guy at training camp. I think there was a tryout player, right? Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I thought he was misspoken. I didn't know. I thought he was meaning the rugby guy and the wrestling guy. right? Or is he? Or was there also a lacrosse guy?
Right, they have that as well. No, Zed Williams is a lacrosse player, but was he? I don't know. Did he try out? It wasn't. No, that's what Josh just said. I can't remember specifically. Yeah. Okay, so either way, the 91 man roster is set. You're talking about guys who were on tryout basis. The only player who actually made the team on the rookie camp tryout was Joe Andreessen, who is a linebacker who's actually from Lancaster High School and played at the University of Buffalo. However, if you look down the defensive tackle depth chart, of course, you also have Gable Steveson. Gable Steveson is the wrestler, the Olympic gold medal wrestler. And I guess you could say he also made it on a tryout basis. That was a little different. They kind of just called him up and said, hey, you know, are you interested in, you know, playing football, and where that went. So those are guys. Then you also look at a guy they drafted, Travis Clayton. Travis Clayton is part of the International Pathways Program, who gets an exemption to be on the roster and on the practice squad. So my guess is he'll be on the practice squad. They'll get that exemption. He'll be number 17, the 17th player on the practice squad. So if those are the guys you're wondering about, that's really all. Most of the others are guys you've kind of heard of that came in, journeymen who kind of, you know, signed contracts later in the offseason or, you know, just some point right before minicamp.
Yeah. And Clayton, if I'm at all interested in any of them, right, Gable Steveson, like, to me, his size playing defensive tackle is just kind of a little bit of a weird fit, right, Sal? Because isn't he, like, far smaller than a lot of the other players at that position? That's Stevens. I'm trying to look up his height at this point in time. The guy, though, I'm more interested in is Clayton. Just because 6'7", 301, and he, of course, you can get that exemption for, so it's easier to keep him around than it is Stevenson. So the size Clayton has, the athleticism, you know, I don't know that he'll ever learn the sport enough to play it, but I would... be more curious about what his future would be long term, just because of the 6'7", 301 size, which you see that and think offensive tackle, sure, that's plenty big enough for an offensive tackle. Or Steveson.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And by the way, thank you very much, Josh. You're right. Zed Williams is the player, and he, of course, fantastic lacrosse player from Western New York. He did have a tryout, but he's not on this 91-man roster.
Okay.
But the guys who came out of that rookie mini camp and rookie tryout, there was a few guys that had, you know, you have to have names. You have to have people. You have to have enough people on the roster, and they had these tryouts, this rookie camp. And Joel Andreessen was the one who actually came out of there and actually signed a contract.
803-0550 is the phone number. Baseball All-Star Game last night, by the way. That happened. I did not watch any of it. I was still traumatized by the national anthem the night before at the Home Run Derby, which I think, Josh, did we determine yesterday that it was the worst national anthem of all time or the second worst national anthem of all time?
I think it was the worst.
Okay. I think I ended up falling and it was second behind Carl Lewis. The Carl Lewis one is really bad. Really bad.
She has since apologized and said that she was drunk and she's going to rehab.
Oh, wow, really? I did not know that. Okay, I'm glad you just pointed that out then. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I did not even see that. 803-0550 is the phone number. 1 week till training camp. What are you wondering about the Bills? Let us know what you think. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. This is WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I was trying to dig up some trivia, and I got a good one. Well, I'm going to get a call in here first, but I got a good trivia that relates to playoff numbers, because there were some dumb things said about Josh Allen on television earlier in the week. Before we get to that, though, what are you wondering about the Bills? Training camp a week away. Mike in Rochester is first up. Getting connected with our fans, by the way, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online, northtownkia.com. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show.
Morning. Thanks. Thanks.
My question was, they signed a couple weird guys in, I don't know, back in May or so. They signed the lacrosse guy, and then they got the rugby guy. Just thoughts. I didn't really heard any much. I know camp hasn't started yet. So there's probably no really good look at these guys, but I don't know if they were in training camp or, I'm sorry, rookie camp, if there's any idea if these guys will make the team at all.
I don't remember the lacrosse guy's name. I remember there was a guy at training camp. I think there was a tryout player, right? Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I thought he was misspoken. I didn't know. I thought he was meaning the rugby guy and the wrestling guy, right? Or is he? Or was there also a lacrosse guy?
They have that as well. Zed Williams is a lacrosse player, but was he? I don't know. Did he try out? It wasn't. No. That's what Josh just said. I can't remember specifically. Yeah. Okay. So either way, the 91 man roster is set. You're talking about guys who were on tryout basis. The only player who actually made the team on the rookie camp tryout was Joe Andreessen, who is a linebacker who's actually from Lancaster High School and played at the University of Buffalo. However, if you look down the defensive tackle depth chart, of course, you also have Gable Steveson. Gable Steveson is the wrestler, the Olympic gold medal wrestler, and I guess you could say he also made it on a tryout basis. That was a little different. They kind of just called him up and said, hey, you know, are you interested in, you know, playing football, and where that went. So those are guys. Then you also look at a guy they drafted, Travis Clayton. Travis Clayton is part of the International Pathways Program, who gets an exemption to be on the roster and on the practice squad. So my guess is he'll be on the practice squad. They'll get that exemption. He'll be number 17, the 17th player on the practice squad. So if those are the guys you're wondering about, that's really all. Most of the others are guys you've kind of heard of that came in, journeymen who kind of, you know, signed contracts later in the offseason or, you know, just some point right before minicamp.
Yeah. And Clayton, if I'm at all interested in any of them, right, Gable Steveson, like, to me, his size playing defensive tackle is just kind of a little bit of a weird fit, right, Sal? Because isn't he, like, far smaller than a lot of the other players at that position? That's Stevens. I'm trying to look up his height at this point in time. The guy, though, I'm more interested in is Clayton. Just because 6'7", 301, and he, of course, you can get that exemption for, so it's easier to keep him around than it is Stevenson. So the size Clayton has, the athleticism, you know, I don't know that he'll ever learn the sport enough to play it, but I would... I'd be more curious about what his future would be long term, just because of the 6'7", 301 size, which you see that and think offensive tackle, sure, that's plenty big enough for an offensive tackle. Where Stevenson,
yeah, for sure. And by the way, thank you very much, Josh. You're right. Zed Williams is the player, and he, of course, fantastic lacrosse player from Western New York. He did have a tryout, but he's not on this 91-man roster.
Okay.
But the guys who came out of that rookie mini camp and rookie tryout, there was a few guys that had. You know, you have to have names. You have to have people. You have to have enough people on the roster, and they had these tryouts. This rookie camp. And Joel Andreessen was the one who actually came out of there and actually signed a contract.
803-0550 is the phone number. Baseball All-Star Game last night, by the way. That happened. I did not watch any of it. I was still traumatized by the national anthem the night before at the Home Run Derby. Which, I think, Josh, did we determine yesterday that it was the worst national anthem of all time or the second worst national anthem of all time?
I think it was the worst.
Okay. I think I ended up falling and it was second. Behind Carl Lewis. The Carl Lewis one is really bad. Really bad.
She has since apologized and said that she was drunk and she's going to rehab.
Oh, wow. Really? I did not know that. Okay, I'm glad you just pointed that out then. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I did not even see that. 803-0550 is the phone number. 1 week till training camp. What are you wondering about the Bills? Let us know what you think. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.